All right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, January 10th, 2018. Whoops. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Wednesday, everyone. It is a somewhat balmy compared to recently 21 degrees and actually partly sunny here in upstate New York. So where do we leave off on Friday? That was the last live show. We titled the show AI, Blockchain, Population Management, Greed, Brains, and Organs on Chips. And we had taken a look at, over the last few days, putting your mind files up on the blockchain and ways that that could be utilized to digitize biology and suck it into the machine like we talk about frequently. But on the blockchain, one of the things that they want to be able to do is to build an immutable, they call it, unchanging, they say, but I hate to tell you, I've seen some examples. There's some bad things that could happen if you get in the back door. But they want to put all of the permanent records, all the property records, the marriage records, your health records, all onto this immutable database, pretty much is what it is. It's like a spreadsheet of a database with a large number of computers that are all acting in unison to crunch large amounts of data, to verify data, and spread it all across the world for this global unification. So we are going to continue on today looking at contracts, property, real estate, law, legal persons, legal identity, because they are working on this digital ID 2020 program with the United Nations, all in the name of giving refugees permanent identities, putting all your information into the cloud somewhere to be collated, spliced, diced, profiled, bagged, and tagged by Skynet. Because remember, they're also utilizing these back-end blockchains, these large numbers of computers connected together, working on crunching data to run AI. We had heard about that from Ben Goertzel, the Singularity Net project. They're financing it by creating their own crypto coins. And then they sell crypto coins kind of like a Kickstarter type thing. So if you buy one of their coins because you believe in what they're doing, maybe someday there'll be a high demand for those coins. And then your money will go through the roof. But remember, this is just the dangling carrot. This is what is getting people to buy into these technologies, to not see these technologies really for what they are. And this is this overarching global database. And I've noticed, even among some of my friends and alternative media people, that there are people out there, they know my stance on technology, but all of a sudden they are talking about how the alternative media that speaks out against digital currencies and blockchain in particular, which runs the underside of things, that we are just, you know, beyond conspiracy theorists. We're being ridiculous. And I have to say that if your investment went from $20 to, I don't know what it's at, you know, $12,000 or $22,000 or $40,000, whatever it is now, depending on which cryptocurrency you have, of course you're not going to be speaking negatively about it or looking at the negative consequences. Well, today we have a very special guest with us. I'm very excited that he's here, and I'm sorry. I gave him the wrong time. So he got Mr. Clint Richardson is here to give us his opinion on how this all ties together and how they are taking this world of property ownership and rulership over us from the physical world, and they are moving it now into the digital world in many different verticals as a digital prison is what I would call it.
Yes.
It's this morning.
Oh, good, good. Although I missed an hour of sleep. I'm not going to comment on that, though. I I it's ironic that you speak of this because people think I'm nuts. You know, I came out with the Corporation Nation. I told her I explained about stocks and how they work, and basically the responses I got were one of two things. Holy crap, all I have to do is do what government does. All I have to do is invest in the stocks that government invests in, and I'm going to make money. And that was the comment I got. Someone even made me a donation, said, look, because of your documentaries, I understood that government controls everything. Government owns all these corporations, all the stock for all these corporations. And so I'm just going to do what government does. I'm going to look at their financial holdings, and I'm going to do exactly what government does. And they started making a little bit of money every day, right? Because that's where the stability is. That's obviously they have the inside tick. Now I'm getting people saying, holy crap, you were right about Bitcoin. Well, Clint, why don't you invest in Bitcoin? Take Bitcoin as a donation. And I said, look, if I start taking what I know to be something, and this was years ago when it was $20, $40, whatever you call it, you know, each little piece, each little mind piece. If I start taking this stuff, then I'm not going to be able to look at it fairly. This is why I don't want money. I of course, everybody has to live and eat, but I don't want to be invested in anything. I don't want to be on the side of anything because I have a financial interest or I'm making a gain on it. It is the only way that I have remained in a state where I can make comments on things in a completely neutral capacity. And people think, again, you're nuts. I could be a millionaire. I probably could. I probably could have started taking Bitcoins. I could have gotten to the whole thing. I could have pretended like it's great and it's anonymous, as if anything can possibly be anonymous on the freaking internet, right? You know, and that is what kept me, if you will, pure. It allows me to see things as they are, not according to my pocketbook or what it's giving me, right? Every pensioner is going to defend pension funds, even though they're the very, very cause of globalism and the very thing that built all these military corporations up, right? And it's the thing that's building China up. It's the thing that's building Russia up. It's the thing that built Mexico up, right? But they're going to defend it with their lives, even though their whole retirement is based on Raytheon and Monsanto and Bank of America. They're going to defend their pension funds because it's what's going to sustain them, never realizing that that is what's destroying them at the same time. And that, of course, that is property of government. Their pension fund can go away at any time. Likewise, Bitcoin. What is Bitcoin? Why do people take Bitcoin? Why can I go to South Korea, for instance, purchase a home with Bitcoin? Do you know the answer?
My thought was that anyone who decided to accept it who didn't in the past was because, you know, a couple little chits of Bitcoin could make you bazillions of dollars in the future, at least
dollars.
The hope.
There's the only word that matters, dollars. What can you trade Bitcoin for?
Ultimately, I don't know, and I still don't understand how you actually get it out. If you want to remain anonymous, you can't link it to a bank account. So how do you get your cash?
Right. So if I sell something to some other, you know, if I buy something in Bitcoin in another country, the only reason they're accepting Bitcoin is because they know they can cash it in for dollars. That's the only reason it's being accepted. The whole idea behind Bitcoin is supposedly to get away from cash, right? Cash and currency. And yet the only thing Bitcoin is worth and valued in is what? Dollars.
Bitcoin. Well, yeah, but dollars. How do you, you know, as more and more online retailers and places start accepting Bitcoin like they do MasterCard, Visa, and all the other stuff, you will have much more of a use for it. Like if you could buy on Amazon with Bitcoin, that would be huge, Jeff Bezos,
well,
if you're listening.
Consider this. There's less than $1 trillion in circulation.
Oh.
Okay?
Which is what makes it more valuable.
That's cash. That's cash. Mm-hmm. Now, in the digital realm, you know, anything goes. You can build up the amount of dollars that quote-unquote exist in the digital realm until the end of time. However, at what point does your Bitcoin start devaluing the actual currency it's based on? Because remember, what you've created now is something that is worth dollars. At what, you know, at some point, it's going to grow past the point that the dollars can pay for it. At that point, you've just destroyed your own national currency. You've destroyed your sovereignty. You've destroyed everything. The only anonymity you have, which is cash, private transactions in cash. The only true anonymity that anybody has ever had. That's why drug dealers use cash. That's why criminals use cash. That's why even the senators and congressmen use cash. When they steal taxpayer money, they transfer it to cash and they go buy a condo in Australia. It's real simple to do, right? Cash is is anonymous. This is the big lie about Bitcoin, because you must exchange Bitcoin for something that is trackable. It's not anonymous in any way, shape, or form. This is the big lie. This is a big delusion. And ultimately, what you will do is you will crash the very thing that makes a nation, which is its currency. If everybody in the world is accepting Bitcoin, that means everybody in the world is changing their Bitcoin over for dollars. Where are our dollars then going? The one thing that makes us a powerful nation, where are our dollars going? They're going everywhere in the world. Does that really, really, really make sense to you? Unless you wanted to start a global government. Unless you want global governance and you want Bitcoin or something similar on the blockchain to facilitate that, well, then it makes perfect sense, you see.
So let's talk about that a little bit, because I've been digging into blockchain lately, and I've started to see that almost every vertical market is jumping on board. And did you see Kodak now is starting their own cryptocurrency, and their stock went up 60%? That was yesterday. But this is this new bandwagon, right, that everybody's jumping on board of. So smart contracts, these are one of the big things that they're talking about utilizing blockchain for, to be able to encode any exchanges of property or licensing, such as marriages or business licensing, or, you know, even down to your genome we saw this morning. So what are your thoughts on this? I mean, you spend a lot of time looking at property and law in the physical world. So how do you see this transition and this whole digital identity, right? We were talking kind of about this in chat this morning, how this digital ID is more or less equivalent to the straw man that you've written extensively about in the physical world.
Sure. It's exactly the same. And ironically, so I put out my first book, and I don't usually make predictions, right? I can go to the Bible and I can see prophecy. The difference between a prediction and prophecy is that a prediction requires a date, a specific time, a prediction is a very exacting thing, whereas a prophecy is more of an inevitability. In other words, it doesn't explain how it's going to happen or why. It just says, look, this is the ultimate place you're going to end up if you're a fool, basically. If you walk on the wrong path, this is where you're going to end up. And that's the beautiful thing about it, because you can realize before it happens that you're being foolish. But when it comes to a prediction, it's more like predictable programming, right? You're really saying, hey, look, I've got all these facts together, and this is what is going to happen. And in the first book, I predicted. I said, look, I took the stand, and I said, look, what's happening is that they're causing the entire third world, in people that don't have registration, digital identity, are in the world. When you look at Agenda 2030 and ID 2020, you notice that it says, the first thing it says is, oh my gosh, this is so alarming that over a billion people in the world don't have identity. And that means they can't get access to services. And that means they might, you know, not be able to do this or do this in society because they're shunned, because they don't have the mark of the beast, essentially, right? The digital identity. And when I say the mark of a beast, not the beast, that means you are becoming a beast of burden. You're becoming a slave, basically, a four-footed animal is what they refer to it. What's why they call us dogs, and it's why they call our language dog Latin, because we're speaking literally like dogs. We're barking. We have no idea what we're saying most of the time because we don't know the legal language. And that's how they're conquering us. Now they're going to conquer us with digital language, right? The code of the Matrix. So what we have, what I predicted is, and what I realized is that even here in America, and this probably, you know, people aren't going to agree with me because they haven't seen the evidence. But once you see the evidence, which is in my book, you'll understand it perfectly. What is a refugee? You see, a United States citizen is a refugee. We've been stripped from the land, the territory, and we've been put into a foreign corporation, which is in Washington, D.C. All right? So we're all United States citizens. We have nationality, not territoriality. In other words, we're not landholders. We're always on another's property. We're walking along on a big, giant monopoly board with a little avatar or persona. And, you know, I'm the car, you're the horse or the shoe, right? So I'm the person, I'm Clint and you're Jules, right? And we have our surnames and we have our registration and our bank accounts and our social security and our driver's license and our voter registration. We have all these things that make us this persona, this fiction in the car, right? I'm the car, go along the monopoly board. And everywhere I step on the monopoly board is the property of someone else. We can't help it. We're public persons. We're national, which means we're foreigners in any state that we go. In other words, we're refugees in wherever we reside. If I'm in California, if I'm in Utah, or if I'm in New York, and I'm a United States citizen, my domicile is Washington, D.C., a foreign corporate structure outside of the United States. Wherever I reside, I'm still a United States citizen. When I vote, I say, yes, I'm a United States citizen. And I'm a foreigner, and I do interstate commerce. Therefore, all transactions, all driving, all everything I do is therefore interstate because I'm from a foreign thing, a foreign entity. Now, we can take that, and we can look and see why do we all have ID? Because we are all refugees in the states that we exist in as United States citizens. We must be registered and given a digital identification. So the first world is taken care of. We're all so gullible that we've already fallen for it. And all we have to do is essentially start accepting the biometric shit that's coming out right now, which is what we're talking about. Right? So that it's all interconnected. The Internet of Things. We will become the Internet of Things. But what they had to do was they had to go in with the First World armies and Air Force and attack and destroy infrastructure and start driving people away from their land, from where their families have been for generations and generations, thousands of years, so that they become refugees. Now that you have all these refugees, now they're being nationalized. They're being put into the same similar type of jurisdiction, not land, not territory, but nationality. Nationality is like having a character, like I said, on the Monopoly board or being a character in the Matrix. You have nothing tangible. You're a commercial vessel in a foreign land. That is what a refugee is. So at that point, then nobody who's being registered in the digital domain with a digital identity has the ability or capability or capacity to have land or dispose of land because we're all foreigners. A foreigner can't own land in a foreign place. You have the right to buy and sell it. You know, you can mortgage, which is a dead pledge, mortgage. You can do all kinds of things. You have certain political rights, but you never hold the land, which is why you pay taxes on the land. Wherever you go on the monopoly board, someone else holds the title. You might be given a title because you're in a mortgage, but that title does not mean that you own the land. Someone else is always the first, or if you will, sovereign landholder, right? So that is the goal. The goal is to make everybody a freaking refugee on Earth so that all the common people of the world cannot hold actual land, because that's the only sanctuary we have, is the land, which you could call God. You could say that that's part of God, and it's under God's law of nature, okay? You got to get them away from that and get them into this fictional realm. Now, everything I just talked about, and everything I can talk about in the legal realm, is being recreated in the digital realm. And they have to do this quick, because, you know, what's going to happen is that people are going to see, oh, look, there's digital land. Well, wait a minute. That digital land doesn't actually exist. Kind of like legal land or real estate. It doesn't actually exist. It's just a title. It's just a name. But in the digital realm, I can actually see it. And so what people are going to be what's going to happen is that people are going to learn the legal law in ways they've never seen it before, because now you can actually see it. Look, I just put a house, I paid, and I have a mortgage for that house in the digital realm, in this digital virtual reality, and all my disputes will be taken care of by a digital court. I have the ability to leave my property, my digital property, the property that doesn't exist in reality, just like it doesn't exist in legal. I have the ability to leave that when I die, and therefore my digital persona must die with me, just like in legal. You see, when I die, Clint Richardson dies. Clint Richardson is a person as property of the United States. It's a commercial vessel. When I die, that cannot be transferred. So I must make a will and give it to someone, give my property that I have, the property that always belongs to you, to someone else, to, you know, transfer it to someone else. And in this way, you've created basically what can only be referred to as an open slave society, right? That is what enfranchisement is. Freedom of the rat in its cage. Freedom of the citizen in its jurisdiction. That's where we're at, and that is what's going digital. That is what a digital identity, and that is what this big brain, this big blockchain neuron of a brain, is going to manage. Right? They're not going to manage. They're going to want a computer system, an AI, to manage all their slaves. That's what they want.
And of course, they're going to make money on utilizing the rats in their cage for all their medical experiments. And they're going to sell all that data to make money on you digitally. The real-time Internet of Things 724 transfer of your biorhythms and stuff.
Well, so the word resident, as opposed to domicile, resident, res means thing. Okay, a resident will be part of the Internet of Things, right? Your persona will be biometric. You will be part of that smart grid that tracks all the Internet of Things. Yes, there's your refrigerator. Yes, there's your microwave. Yes, there's your toaster. Yes, there's your car. And yes, there's you. Look, I can pull up Google Earth. Right now, if I have the coding, the proper coding and the proper permissions, I can pull up anything that is tracked on Google Earth, anything that is registered, anything, if I have the correct thing. There's layer upon layer on Google Earth that nobody knows about because you don't have the correct coding. But trust me when I say, if I want to pull up every church in the United States or in the world, I can do that. If I want to pull up every radio host in the alternative media, I can find them right now where they reside, quote unquote. Right? I can do anything. I if I'm looking for anything or tracking anything, it's already on Google Earth. The problem is the coding for the typical common user of Google Earth only shows what we generally see, which is pictures of the land and, you know, here's the city and here's the street. But, well, trust me when I say, underneath that is everything else, the Internet of Things.
Well, that's pretty incredible. That would explain, I saw that the former director of the DIA, which runs a lot of the military satellites, just got some big position at DARPA.
Yeah, it's we call that intermarriage, right? Mm-hmm. political intermarriage. The head
Tentacles.
of Monsanto becomes the leader of the FDA and then goes back to Monsanto with a big bonus. Just ridiculous.
It's all dirty. So in regards to blockchain, I started looking at some vulnerabilities. That, of course, you know, everyone's so gung-ho on this. I wanted to see. They kept saying that once it's encoded, it's completely unchangeable. Immutable, they were calling it. And I would have to disagree. I mean, of course, take one quick search for, like, viruses and blockchain or malware and blockchain. And they've already been tinkering with the ideas at, like, the DEF CON conference and what's the other Black Hat conference that they have in Vegas? Yeah. And a lot of the intelligence agencies show up there. But just recently I saw that even the Department of Defense is looking at utilizing a blockchain. Now, there's two differences, of course. There's the public blockchain that's based publicly on the internet. And then there's private blockchains, which would be built in-house on your network servers, probably utilizing the PCs on your network. You know, you might be able to do something like that if you had a 1,000 PC network and you had your servers running in the middle. You could run the blockchain core on your servers and then use all of your computers on your network to do the processing on the back end.
Well, if you want to know where that is coming from and how that all happened, they basically used something called FirstNet. The FirstNet was it was United Nations, and it was also a national kind of concept that we would, it's called the First Responder Network. So the idea was, how they sold it is that every square inch of the world, but specifically America in this case, because ours is called FirstNet, will have internet. So no matter where you are, even if you're in the depths of Alaska in the middle of the forest with nothing around you, the internet will penetrate, and it will penetrate something, some ridiculous amount of space down into the earth. And this is called FirstNet. So in other words, it's government's private internet. And you can just look up FirstNet, right, about FirstNet, FirstNet.gov. And you can read all about it. You can see all their public safety advisory committees and everything on that. That is what, right? It's got pictures of the cell phone towers and the you know, it's all sold to you about by this concept of first responders. But what it really is a completely private government internet being built right before your eyes. And you know what? I just happened to meet one of the guys that was building the towers. Their company was hired to build all the towers, and none of these towers they were building were connected to the common or reggae, you know, the goyim internet, if you will, the commerce internet, right? It's all private, you see. So these are private contracts people don't even know is happening, and they're going up all over the place. We're actually starting to wonder if these cell phone towers, some of them are even cell phone towers. Because, I mean, it looks like a big mind control device.
Right. Well, right? We've dug into that. Frequencies are a big deal, and people don't realize how much can be manipulated.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even at a biological level.
FirstNet is an independent authority within the United States Department of Commerce. Authorized by Congress in 2012, its mission is to develop, build, and operate the nationwide broadband network that equips first responders to save lives and protect U.S. communities. That's how they bill it. And that is your, you know, national Telecommunications and Information Administration. Did you know that there was a National Telecommunications and Information Administration? I mean, this is just crazy.
I mean, you'd imagine that a lot of the communication companies, even back from the days of the original Bell and Bell Labs, did you know that they were taken over by the federal government at one point after one of the early wars? I think it might have been after World War.
I want to be clear. I say this with no hesitation. Every corporation is a government corporation. Anything that has stock is owned by government through its pension system and everything else. And what that means is that the corporate governance, which, you know, in this case they're calling it you know, the governance of the blockchain and everything, but the corporate governance of all corporations, that means that government as the main shareholder gets proxy shareholder rights. You know, when you own the stock of a corporation, you own the corporation. If government, for instance, institutional holders hold 70-something percent of Microsoft, that means that institutional holders, that includes pension funds and government investments and mutual funds and all that stuff, that is who is controlling that corporation. So Microsoft, Apple, Apple's almost 100% institutional. So what that means is that they get the right of corporate governance through proxy shareholder voting. When it comes time to vote every year, you'll find CalPERS, for instance, in California, votes on some ridiculous amount of corporations, like 10,000 corporations, to tell it, you know, the so government is not only the controller, a holder of the stock. So, in other words, the owner, through all its various investments, and then through private association, it casts these votes. It says this is going to be corporate governance includes electing the board of directors. And then the board of directors is responsible, of course, for electing the CEO, right? This is why it's so incestual. This is why you're never going to be a CEO. I'm never going to be a CEO. I'm never going to be on a board of directors. None of us common folk will ever get to that point. Because government controls it all as stockholder and owner of all these corporations. There is no such thing as a private corporation in the way that we think.
Well, how do you then translate this whole democratization of ownership for blockchain? Because that's kind of one of the promises, is that everybody who has to verify the block that they're a part of, that they've right. pulled down, it gets a vote. They have to, like, give it a, I don't know if it's an up and down vote, but I think it's a verification vote.
It's no different than, it's no different than when Americans, stupid as we are, go vote for president. We actually think that the public vote or the vote of United States citizens actually determines the president. Now, I did a whole video on this. If you want to learn, vote NOTA. N-O-T-A or none of the above, okay? I did a video on the entirety of the electoral system. The popular vote means absolutely nothing. We don't elect the president in the United States. We think we do. We're sold the idea. Billions of dollars are spent to make us, give us the impression that our vote counts. But ultimately, it's the states, which we are not a part of. Remember, we're refugees. The states in the Electoral College elects the president. One of the questions, which I find hilarious, one of the questions on the form for an illegal alien to be naturalized into the United States is who elects the president? And you better know the answer. It's the Electoral College. You better freaking know the answer. So I did a whole video on it explaining how that works. You're talking about a set of magistrates, a set of gods. They're not going to elect the common people, elect who runs the corporation, right? This is a family affair. It's a bloodline thing. You do not get to vote for president. Likewise, blockchain users will certainly vote. What is a vote? A vote is actually called a poll, right? What do? Every election, they poll. Well, we see in California, there's about 46 that is for Clinton and 47 for Trump. That's a poll. It means nothing. It's data. That's all it is. What is the blockchain for? The blockchain is to collect data and start thinking about it and making decisions thereof. So if a bunch of people who are so stupid to actually think that they can vote inside of an artificial intelligence or inside of a state when they're actually a national citizen, that's fine. That's most of America. If we're that stupid that we actually think that our vote counts, and it's not just being taken to say, okay, well, this year we're going to put a woman in the office because that's what the public seems to gravitate towards, so we're going to make them happy, keep them under their delusion, we'll go ahead and elect Clinton. Well, all, you know, Clinton and Trump are related. They're from the same great-grandmother. I don't know. what do you think is the difference between the two, Democrat and Republican? Woman and male? No, it's the same people. And when you're voting in an artificial intelligence, it's the same artificial intelligence. You're never going to change the artificial intelligence, just like you're never going to change the nature of government. Government is not our property. It's their property. We are its subjects. The intelligence that's being created is to control the subjects. We're the subject. We're not its creator. We're not its owner. We don't control it. We don't get to vote. It's all a big freaking lie. It's a big illusion. They'll have an artificial, don't they? I mean, I read just not, I can't remember what it was called. The United Nations Commission for Blockchain. You ever heard of that?
Yeah, I actually pulled it up.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, you've already got your voting board. It's called the UN Commission for Blockchain. Oh, but let's put a ballot. Let's put a poll out. Let the people vote and pretend that they have some control. Meanwhile, the UN Commission for Blockchain takes that information, puts it into the AI, and the AI says, well, according to the poll, according to the vote, it would probably be best if we went forward this way. You see how that works?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same thing. There's no difference between the current legal realm and the artificial intelligence, except all of a sudden, legal, which means anti-God, anti-nature, legal will suddenly think for itself. And that is the most dangerous thing I can ever possibly think of.
I know. And I mean, a lot of these exchanges of data are going to be happening autonomously. That's the quote unquote trusted transactions, right? That's how they're selling all this, is trusted transactions. You know, I also was reading about how as a part of all this and having a digital ID, you wouldn't necessarily have to have any type of citizenship. Like, they would deem you more of a global citizen, that you could travel anywhere and all these great things and be a global citizen.
Well, that's the goal of the United Nations. You see, this right. is United Nations is what I consider to be in the Bible the fourth beast. A nation, well, here, Daniel 7:23. The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it into pieces. So you're talking about something that's going to devour the whole earth. Well, that sounds a lot like the United Nations, right? All the nations coming into one nation. See, the United States is a state of the United Nations. We're not a nation anymore. We're not a sovereign nation when we're a member of something more powerful than us. You give up certain aspects of sovereignty, right? United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees is moving forward with its plans to use biometric technology to identify and track refugees. Remember, you're a refugee. It'll use Accenture's Biometric Identity Management System, or BIMS, to collect facial, iris, and fingerprints. It'll be used to provide many refugees with their only form of official documentation. The system will work in conjunction with Accenture's unique identity service platform to send this information back to a central database in Geneva, allowing the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees office all over the world to effectively coordinate with the central authority for that, United Nations, in tracking refugees. Remember, anybody that is a national citizen and thus part of the United Nations is going to be a global citizen of the United Nations. Just because you're still part of the United States or whatever doesn't mean you're not already a national citizen, you see, or an international citizen. And that's right from the UN agency Accenture for Refugee Biometrics Projects. We go on and we find World Bank and Accenture call for a universal ID in 2015. World Bank calling on governments to work together to implement standardized, cost-effective identity management solutions.
I think Microsoft is also working with that Accenture.
Oh, everybody. I mean, you're talking about everything being connected in the Internet of Things. Remember, persons are things. Persons, remember, it's a name. A name, a noun, is a person, place, or thing. So all persons, places, or things, that's all property, will be part of the Internet of Things. The jurisdiction is the place. It's not a real place. Remember, you're looking at Google Earth. You can see what's in the jurisdiction of the United States, or the place that we call fictionally, and then it'll be transferred virtually. See, there is no difference. Like I said, you're giving the legal mind. You're creating a legal mind. And I can't tell you that if you understand that many authors of dictionaries have called the legal language or the concept of what is legal, meaning that anything can be made lawful, murder, right, rape, anything can be made legal, in other words, lawful. Anything can be made lawful if it's given legal license. License means anarchy, right? So lawlessness, chaos. That's the meaning in the legal realm. Doesn't matter what you think the meaning is. It only matters what they think it is, right? That's what they want. They want this system to be out of control. That is the concept of the Matrix. It's not out of control for them. It's out of control for us. It's a self-sustaining thing that will control all of its slaves, and eventually it'll probably get them too. But I mean, it offers hope for the UN Sustainable Development Goal of getting legal ID into the hands of everyone in the world by the year 2030, with its identification for development ID 4D initiative. This is what it's all about. That is number 16.9 in the United Nations Sustainable Development 2030 target goal. By 2030, provide legal identity for all, including birth registration. World Bank says, okay, let's do that by 2030, and it's a target shared by the international community, ensure a unique legal identity, and it has to be unique, you know? That's the whole thing. You cannot be part of nature, because if you're part of nature, you're no longer, you have no uniqueness. That's the beauty of being part of nature, or part of God, is that you have no identity. That's the whole concept of Christianity. That's the whole concept of Jewishness. That's the whole concept of these religions, is to live without the fiction. That's all it is. It's the law to have no fiction. And here's the kicker, and this is the scary part, because this is David Nabarro, Special Representative of the UN Secretary General of the United Nations, from his speech. This was April 15th, 2016. This says it all right here. He says, no community should be considered to be outside the span of this new agenda. Whatever your ethnicity, whatever your livelihood, whatever your lifestyle or location. Okay, what was it? What was that? That was person, place, and thing. All of you are inside the agenda, referring to Agenda 2030. We need to inform everyone that these goals are the heart of a plan for the future of the world's people, as well as for the planet itself. Peace and security, human rights and justice, and sustainable development brought together within this 2030 agenda. Now, what does the Bible say? The Bible says they will destroy you by offering you peace, and they will literally destroy you when they say, we're going to give you peace and security. So you got the Pope, you got the United Nations, you got all the power structures saying, we want to offer you peace and security. The Bible's very clear. Even the founding fathers of America were clear that those who accept the peace and security of the state will be destroyed by it. Peace is war. Remember? So this is what's happening. The 2020 goal of digital identity fits right into the 2030 goal of everybody getting identified, basically made into a refugee, taken from their lands, their ancestral lands, so that you have no right of inheritance because you have no blood consideration in law. You're no longer a man. You're a person. You cannot inherit land. If the whole world cannot inherit land, then the whole world is on their chessboard, their monopoly board, and everywhere we step, we will pay for it. We will smart for it. We will pay taxes for it. Because we will own nothing. That's the whole goal. We're like a big freaking human zoo.
Well, then you also have to look at, as part of the Sustainable Development Goals, they have the whole Smart City Initiative that's rolling out globally. Mm. I mean, there's lots of them that are under development right now that will allow them to... you won't own anything in regards to, like, even cars. Have you seen that they're going to do, like, group ownership over the blockchain for things such as vehicles?
Sure.
You could even do it for homes.
Well, it's because there is no ownership. That's what I'm trying to get across is they say the word own doesn't mean that it's yours, right? I say that I own my truck. It's even free and clear. I have no loan on it. Doesn't mean that I own the truck. It's a registered vehicle for Clint Richardson, which is property of the United States. Clint Richardson is a commercial vessel. Okay? It's an insurable commercial vessel in the danger or jurisdiction of the United States. That car is not mine, that truck. It's not mine. I say I own it. That doesn't mean that I have any rights to it except what are given to me by government. Now, take that, spread that across everything. The money in your pocket is not yours. It's property of government. It can be taken at any time. We had the great confiscation of gold, right? That's a history that we should really learn from. Anything can be confiscated because everything is property of government, including your name, your Social Security, your home, your everything. You're doing everything in their name, in their property. Therefore, every property that you get is their property, including your children, because we've been fooled into registering our children, giving them a birth certificate, creating a legal entity, a commercial vessel, and throwing them in there. So everything is owned by government, literally. That's why I say we're just on a giant international monopoly board
that now will be in the big pulsating database.
Right. And I stress again, a big legal mind set free. Legal meaning anti-everything. Anti-everything good. Any anti-life. Anti-God. Anti-nature. Anti-universe. Right? That is what we're creating. And we're setting it free.
It's silicon versus carbon.
That's an interesting way of looking at it.
Actually, I'd read something many years ago where they were postulating on life on other planets, and there was a scientist that had come out and said that out of the other elements out there, silicon would be a very good base for a different evolution somewhere else.
Don't you what? I mean, at some point there will be so my prophecy, if you will, my prediction is, I mean, we've seen it. We've been predictively programmed for it our whole lives. Every freaking every science fiction movie is basically has the same thing or story, you know, old story. It's always the battle between those who accept technology and those who don't. That's what we're headed for. If we do not, literally, if nature, which includes man, if nature itself does not, as man as the dominant figure in nature, if man does not stop this technology from taking over, well, then we deserve what we. I mean, we will enter into a war against it. If we don't stop it, we will enter into a war against it. That is the whole story of the Bible. People don't realize that. But we're breaking the laws of nature at every turn. And therefore, i.e. the laws of God, the law of God, law of nature, right? The very design of nature is being altered in its structure to foment and benefit everything but nature itself, right? Everything's dying before us. We will not be able to survive unless we take their technology. And if we don't pay for their technology, there was a movie called Repo Men, I believe it was called, where they would go around and people who couldn't pay for their heart transplant or couldn't pay for their lung transplant, they would literally go cut open their body right there on the spot and repossess their heart, repossess their brain, repossess some technology that was put into the body. Because again, it's not your property. Oh, but it's the heart. I need it to live. Doesn't matter. It's property of the corporation, the government. You know, watch that movie. It's pretty frightening in its.
It was from the 80s, right?
No. There was a Repo Man, and then they made a movie called Repo Men, and it has Jude Law and what's his name in it, and it's a scary freaking concept when you look, because you know it's a moral issue, it's a moral question being put into a movie. Now you said earlier you were talking about how it was stable and it couldn't change.
Right, and yet that's this, how this, they sell it.
But this paper that you sent me is very clear. It says a specific new kind of application that blockchains might enable is blockchain thinking. Mm-hmm. The idea of putting thinking on the blockchain, or more specifically, using blockchain architecture to institute thinking machines. What good is thinking if you don't have options? Why would you want a computer to think? Unless you're giving it, say, well, okay, I want you to think, and what's the best course? So how can that be an unchanging thing? It's impossible. You cannot have a thinking machine and also have an unchangeable machine or blockchain. It's impossible. The whole idea behind the blockchain is that every little block in the chain is a learning instrument. And there was a problem that we solved, and we just created a neuron in the brain, just like in the human brain, but a fictional one, right? You're creating with every block in the chain, you're creating a solution to a problem. Just the way we think, the way we logically think, the way we reason things out is that we've had the experience, we solved the problem, and just like any animal in nature, we react according to that block in our neuron cortex, our chain, right? That is, by definition, a changeable concept. You cannot have an unchanging thinking machine. It's impossible. It's an oxymoron.
Well, I was wondering if that wasn't talking about somehow with this decentralized autonomous organization, because I think that's what they were doing, is almost like a swarm thinking, where all the different nodes kind of weigh in on the decision. Or maybe in this case, it would be in an AI perspective, where the AI would be playing both sides of the coin.
Both sides of the Bitcoin.
Yeah, the Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's all, you know, what the hell is a decentralized central database? And how can you have a database of everything and not say it's central? This is the same trickery, this is the same word magic, the same bullshit that they sold to people about Bitcoin. Bitcoin is nothing but money. It's digital currency and it's anonymous. Bullshit. Bitcoin was created by the AI for the AI. It's designed to make you go around and actually be so, you're practically playing Minecraft. You're freaking going and you're mining Bitcoins. How is that possible? How is that possible? You can't, there's no mine. There's no Bitcoin in the first place. It doesn't exist. It's getting people to react. And with every reaction, with everything we do, with our just using Bitcoin or whatever it comes up with, it's learning. It's using us as puppets. That's what it's doing. That's how the AI will work. It's tracking every movement and learning from every success and mistake that we make, to the point where you said it best. Imagine an AI that learned about humanity through Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Imagine what a monster that would be.
Like Tay. Do you remember Tay, the chatbot that went crazy?
Exactly. I mean, we're like I said, if we do not stop this, we will be at war with it. You can mark my words. One day, you might be sitting in a bunker somewhere fighting the robot AI.
No, you'll remember totally my words. See it. Totally see it.
You got me to watch. I hadn't seen the whole series yet. This year's series of Black Mirror, and you mentioned Metalhead.
Yeah.
Oh, it's my
just
God.
Like a Boston Dynamics. Holy, I almost freaked crap out.
And see, that's I think that's the perfect. If anybody hasn't seen Black Mirror, it's my absolute favorite show. I recommend it to everybody. This year they came out with the one really good one, which was called Metalhead. And if you want to understand what I mean by the legal mind coming to life, a mind without empathy, without any purpose but what it's programmed, right, which is death, protection, safety, and security of something, which means death to something else, right? You want to see the perfect example of what I mean by the legal mind coming to life. Watch that particular show called, it's like a Twilight Zone. It was titled Metalhead. That is the legal mind coming to fictional or artificial life. That is the very, very essence of what artificial intelligence is.
Yeah, autonomous killer machines.
Autonomous.
It's frightening. It really is. And they are pushing us to that threshold. And I still think that part of the blockchain with Bitcoin and all the other cryptocurrencies involved is just this. I mean, it's preying on some of humans' weakest points with greed. I mean, seven deadly sins. You want to go back to I used to read a lot of medieval literature, and it was really big back in the Middle Ages. But, you know, avarice, lust, greed, whatever else, there were seven of them. But those are our biggest vulnerabilities, I think. And with cryptocurrency being such an easy way to make money, it's getting people who I don't think ever really took technology seriously to want to accept everything it has to offer. And it's disturbing.
Blockchains might be used to work with digital mind files, uploads of full human mind files in the future, and their current prototypes, digital identities, Facebook, LinkedIn, etc. profiles, through their asset management, property registration, and access control features. There could be personal thinking chains as a life-logging storage and backup mechanism. The concept is blockchain technology plus in vivo personal connectome to encode all of a person's thinking and make it useful in a standardized compressed data format. That should scare the hell out of people. Okay, that means that they can predict your behavior. That means that it's practically guiding you with everything it creates, including Bitcoin. That's scarable. It can be captured via self-tracking devices, wearables, intercortical, which means brain implants, consumer EEGs, brain-computer interfaces, cognitive nanorobots, smart dust, in other words, and other methodologies. This should scare. I mean, again, if we do not stop this before the 2020 and 2030 agendas allow them, you know, we are then a doomed society, and we will go to war. That's it. There's no other way around this.
And how do you fight nanorobots?
Well, this is the real Revenge of the Nerds.
And on that note, Mr. Clint Richardson, what an excellent talk today. Thank you so much for being on. All right, guys, I will catch up with you on Friday. Hey, everybody.